have one clarification to make. I'm not a doctoral. I'm still a doctoral student. I passed my comps. I haven't passed my dissertation yet. So I'm going to talk, it's kind of changing scope a little bit from this prior presentation, but about sustaining CHW services through an asthma program that we have going on at George Washington University. And I wanted to acknowledge my co-author, who's Ann Marcus, who is the PI actually for this project, which is working to translate and implement evidence-based protocols for asthma care and pediatric patients in three community health centers, so in Puerto Rico, in Arizona, and Michigan. And part of this project, we had the opportunity to look in the literature and other research to understand ways that community health centers in particular, but also states, were sustaining CHW services, because we found that was a problem for our CHCs to pay for CHW services. So I have no relationships to disclose. This is what I'm hoping to cover in the presentation. I'll give some background on a few different things: pediatric asthma, community health centers, community health workers, and the challenges related to asthma, and payment challenges, and then methods, results, and conclusions. So just a little bit of background on asthma. I'm sure many of you know. It is the leading cause of chronic childhood disease, diagnosed in 1 in 7 children in the U.S., and it disproportionately affects minority and low-income children. So 21% of black children have asthma, 17% of poor children have asthma. And it is a major healthcare expense as well. About $56 billion in healthcare spending annually go to services related to asthma care, especially ED visits and hospitalizations. And in a survey in 2005 of hospitals in 23 states, community hospitals, they found that the third most common reason for hospitalizations among children was asthma, and the second most common reason for an ED visit that led to a hospitalization. So the problem with all this, that of course we know, is that it's a manageable condition. So they really, this shouldn't be happening. This is something gone wrong. And so there's evidence-based guidelines that exist, and if they were fully implemented and everyone had access to comprehensive care, then we wouldn't see this going on. So as you probably know, evidence-based guidelines recommend both clinical care and medication management, but they also recommend environmental control measures, and that's what's really important in terms of community health workers. That's where we've seen they've been really great for this area. So a little background on community health centers, which many of you probably know them as well, but they're very important for children. They are home to about a quarter of low-income children, and they provide comprehensive primary care, but they also serve as a hub for other services, connecting them with community resources, both clinical and non-clinical. And about 1 in 5 pediatric patients has asthma that goes to a community health center. So it's a pretty high amount. And so a lot of people, a lot of centers are focusing on asthma. Since we do have these evidence-based guidelines, they're really focusing in this area. So this is what we're trying to support with this project and hopefully spreading what we learn. As you know, CHCs rely often on non-traditional providers such as CHWs, hence this presentation. So in terms of community health workers for this area, asthma care, there's three things that they are really critical for in our project, and those are environmental risk assessments, and that's when the CHW goes into the patient home and assesses the home for triggers, asthma triggers. The next step is tailored counseling, and this is very sensitive. It's always sensitive to go into people's homes, but this is also a sensitive area because they want to make it so that they can learn how to make decisions that are better for their asthma care in light of what they found and the triggers in the children's sensitivities. And then the last step is home remediation, which, again, is sensitive because it often means recommending things like mattress encasements and those sorts of things for dust, pest remediation services, cleaning services, all sorts of things. So again, it's not fun to be told that sort of thing in your home. So CHWs have done a really great job in this area. So all three of these things are really critical components of evidence-based care for asthma and what we're trying to translate with our centers right now. And studies are out there that support the effectiveness of CHWs in this care. So they've been able to show decreased asthma symptoms, lessened daytime activity limitations, reduced emergency department use, and also they've been able to show that it's cost effective, which I'm sure you all know since I'm preaching to the choir here. So Heyman challenges. This is what we are trying to deal with at this point. And so despite this kind of growing evidence base for CHWs in sustainable asthma care, we're finding that there's just barriers to covering these services. And so as you probably know, CHWs rely heavily on public payers, so Medicare, Medicaid, and CHIP, in terms of their reimbursement. For kids, it's going to be mostly Medicaid and CHIP. And so for this presentation, I'm really focusing on Medicaid and what we can understand, because that is what most of our patients are covered by and how we get reimbursement for those guys. So there's two things to kind of know about Medicaid in federally qualified health centers for pediatric patients. So one is that community health centers are defined more broadly under Medicaid, and so any services provided in FQHCs are a mandated benefit for Medicaid. So they're more broad than Medicare, which is a nice benefit. The other thing to know, which I'm sure you probably do, but the early periodic and screening diagnosis and treatment, EPSDT, I can never remember what it stands for, but that is the Medicaid Child Health Program. So all patients that are Medicaid children, that's the program that they're covered under. And it also is defined much more broadly. So in theory, anything that is medically necessary for kids should be covered under Medicaid. But you heard the in theory part. So even though we are able to show federal billing codes for all the sorts of asthma services that a patient might need in a crosswalk of those sorts of things, we're still finding some issues when it comes to actual reimbursement. So on paper, there's coverage for these services, but in terms of actually getting the reimbursement, there's challenges. So we are finding that the challenges relate to Medicaid restrictions in a few different areas. The billing codes that Medicaid will actually recognize in a state versus what's on the federal docket. The services that require prior authorization, that can always be an issue. The settings in which services can be provided, so some settings it's allowed and some settings it's not, like homes, sometimes it's not allowed there. Healthcare providers who are covered, so that's our biggest thing. So currently, federal code does not, that all state Medicaid agencies have to go by, they do not recognize CHWs as providers who can bill directly for their services. So that's the big problem. Okay, so today I'm just presenting what I've found from a policy scan of innovative approaches to securing adequate reimbursement for CHWs. And these are found at several different levels. At the individual health center level, what they can do to try and cover these services, at the Medicaid health plan level, and then also at the state Medicaid program level. And these are solutions that FQHCs are generally behind, but they also may be working with a coalition or partnership, also with their primary care associations, can be really important for this. So the scan was conducted in the spring of 2012 with the peer-reviewed literature, policy briefs, white papers, and program reports, anything I could find about reimbursement for CHWs. So in terms of results, we found several innovative states that have been successful, states, health plans, CHCs, in providing models for sustainable reimbursement. And most, again, rely on the advocacy efforts of CHCs. And most either aim to bundle these payments, so all services provided for asthma care are provided in a bundle payment, regardless of who the provider is or the team of providers are, or they're seeking recognition of CHWs as a reimbursable provider. So there's kind of two camps on this, depending on what makes sense for an individual center. And so these Medicaid changes are accomplished either legislatively, administratively, or if feasible through an existing reimbursement mechanism. So I'm just going to go through these. I'm going to start with the bundled payment options, and then I'll move on to the ones recognizing as individual providers. So in terms of bundled payment, if health centers want to cover a new service or a set of services, such as asthma care management services, then they then have to apply through their state for a scope of service change. And this is what they would do for any new services. If they, say, got a rheumatologist or some sort of thing, they would apply this way to get their payment change done. And so this is often easier in some states than others, as you would expect. The key things to kind of know about this are that you need to understand what's in your Medicaid state plan. What are the primary services that all CHCs have to cover, and what are the additional services that your individual CHC is covering? And then you need to show a qualifying event, which this can be the addition of asthma services, and set out a methodology for calculating a new payment rate. So this is kind of the only option that CHCs can pursue on their own without reaching out for other supports, but it's usually where people are starting. Often, CHCs may not be comfortable going with this approach first, and so they may approach a Medicaid managed care plan and work with them first to try and provide expanded health services. This is actually what we found to be most common, that they begin with a managed care plan, partnering with them to try and provide expanded asthma services with CHWs in this case, and then they'll maybe go on to another. So they're able to show some results even, which is really important in this area, and then move on to the next step to implement it more broadly. Okay, so the next example that we have is a state-level bundled payment model, and this is something from a very innovative group, which is the Children's Hospital of Boston's Community Asthma Initiative, and they were successful actually convincing their state legislature to include this in their 2011 budget, a bundled payment model for asthma, for paying for asthma care. That includes the use of CHW services, includes their medical equipment that they may need, all sorts of things bundled together. And again, the way that they were able to accomplish this was based on a pilot that they had already completed with a managed care plan in their area to show that they were able to show a couple things, actually, that missed school days, missed work days for the families, emergency department visits and hospitalizations, all of these declined significantly over the course of a year related to asthma. So based on this, Medicaid really bought in at the state level. So it's just an example of one group that has been successful using the return on on investment evidence. Okay, so the final two options that I'm going to discuss in terms of bundled payment, both came out of the Affordable Care Act, and they are things you may have heard of, but the first is the Medicaid Health Home. And so this builds on what a lot of health centers are already working on with patient-centered medical homes. But under the ACA, they were given the option to provide health homes for Medicaid patients who had at least two chronic diseases. And so often our asthmatic patients have other comorbidities or are at risk for them, so they generally can qualify in this area. And so states are incentivized to take up this new option based on a 90% match rate. Several have gone ahead and done that and have been able to use CHWs in asthma. Three are focusing on asthma so far. So I guess six states have taken it up so far, and three using asthma, focusing on asthma with CHWs. So the final option in terms of bundled payment, which is under the ACA as well, is again the thing we've all heard so much about, I feel like, is the accountable care organizations. And so under the ACA, they proposed a demonstration program that is a Medicaid ACO. And so an ACO, the basic components are a provider organization, which is kind of the base, and then accountability for patient outcomes and the potential for shared savings. So these are kind of the three big components of these programs. And this demonstration actually hasn't been funded yet, but several states are already planning for these ACOs that are coming under health reform. So there's five states that are planning these projects using community health workers with bundled payment. So we'll see how these develop and if this is a viable option for this. Okay, so shifting gears to recognition of CHWs as billable providers. So there's several examples that exist in the literature. Again, the emphasis is on working with managed care plans. This has been very effective for the examples that we were able to identify. So the first option is recognizing CHWs as billable providers is working with the managed care organizations who have a little bit more flexibility generally in their funding. Most of the time they're in capitated arrangements where they're paid based on the number of individuals that they provide services for. And so they have some flexibility generally, and they can actually hire CHWs themselves, or they can contract with other organizations to provide CHW services. So this is one that's well known in the asthma group literature, which is Priority Health, which is a managed care company in Michigan, in West Michigan. And for over a decade, they've been working with Asthma Network of West Michigan to provide case management services for their pediatric patients with asthma. So it's just one example of working with the managed care organizations. The other side of that is some managed care organizations have actually sought to get CHWs as billable providers with their Medicaid plans. So they've been able to get actual codes. And so an example of that is New Mexico. Molina Healthcare, a managed care plan in New Mexico, used this approach to establish a billing code. And so now they can either contract with organizations who are using CHWs, and CHWs can bill directly for that with their code, or they can employ them themselves. So the next option is state plan amendments. And so these are the final two, this one and the next one. And they both draw on learnings from Minnesota. So Minnesota is the first state to go for CHW recognition as a billable provider at the state level. Alaska also recognized CHWs as billable providers, but they didn't go through the same process because of their geographic location they were. So Minnesota actually went through the process of a state plan amendment, having convinced their state legislature that it was worthwhile based on, again, pilot work that they had already done. They were able to pass through the legislature the state plan amendment, and then it was approved by CMS to actually have a reimbursable have CHWs as reimbursable providers, hourly providers. And in their case, they are linking CHWs to their certification program. They have a 14-hour certification program in the state, so that is the way that they've worked this out. And the final option that was kind of the precursor to the one I just said, I would have been better in the other order, sorry, was that they first went with a Medicaid waiver. So you may be familiar with those. Under the Social Security Act 1115, they are able to use Medicaid waivers to experiment with different payment mechanisms under Medicaid. And so this is something that a lot of states have used, but this for CHWs, it's not been that common. And this is a great idea for states to experiment with CHWs and being able to pay them directly. And so that's what Minnesota did, and then was able to use that evidence from their waiver to then move forward with the state plan amendment, making it a permanent change. So this just summarizes what I've gone through quickly. And you can see the different options at the various levels. And I'll just go ahead and conclude. I know we're short on time. So overall, we find that in a case of children covered by Medicaid, that the coverage is not really the issue. It's really reimbursement and making that come through what it says on paper. And so we find that it is possible to translate these evidence-based interventions in asthma care in these CHCs. But financing basically falls into two kind of key areas: the bundled payment or recognizing providers, CHWs, as reimbursable providers. And these are accomplished at the CHC level, managed care organization level, or state level. And there, of course, are advantages and disadvantages to both of these or all of these options. Some may be more feasible just depending on the state, on the connections with the state Medicaid program, et cetera. But overall, we find that evidence is really the most important thing. And we have that now. It's in the literature for CHWs, which is really powerful. But also, using a sort of pilot project or anything, any work that you've done with a managed care organization to try and use that evidence that you've been able to find, which means monitoring projects, and translating that into other changes as well. So I want to acknowledge the project. It's called CHAMPS. I can never remember what it stands for. It's Community Healthcare for Asthma Management and Prevention of Symptoms. And it's funded by the Merck Childhood Asthma Network and the RCHN Community Health Foundation. And I have additional references that you might be interested in. Thanks.